All right, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Cambridge Inside Out, either broadcast or pre-recorded. We'll see. Anyway, I'm Robert Winters, and with me today,
surprisingly, I am Patrick Barrett.
Well, hey there, Patrick. How the hell are you?
I'm the hell great. How the hell are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. So anyway, today
should I refer to you as Candidate Winters?
Not for the purposes of this program, thank you very much. I mean, there is a little bit of an issue with that, you know.
I'm just jealous. I'm living vicariously for you, sir.
All right, man. That sounds pretty cool. Now, yesterday was actually the final deadline for people to turn in signatures if they wanted to be a candidate. It was an exciting day, apparently, down at the Election Commission.
Doug Brown at the buzzer.
Doug Brown at the buzzer. And actually, it was quite interesting. I learned some things today. Some of the candidates just barely squeaked through with just enough signatures to meet the minimum threshold of 50. I mean, 50 is not a really tough burden to meet, but some people may not actually meet it. So anyway, I'm actually going to sort of flip over here I'm going to sort of move around a little bit here and just to kind of talk through a little bit of what's actually happened. So there was actually brand new candidates for city council. There were two brand new candidates showed up on the very, very last day. One was Doug Brown, as you mentioned. Another person was a fellow named Nathaniel Sandaloo Ash. I think he came running in at the last minute saying, I think he was the guy who came running in saying, is it too late? Are there any exceptions? Right in. Nope, sorry, no. I'm not sure if it's either that person or the other person who was running for school committee who didn't show up. But anyway, they said, no, sorry, he was 10 signatures short. So he says, all right, well, it was nice fun anyway. But Doug Brown did get his signatures in, but it was quite interesting. Franz Pierre, who is strange as this is, seems, is actually running for both city council as well as school committee, has managed to qualify for both minimum 50, but only after some real sort of crisis moments, because apparently his nomination papers did not meet the appropriate criteria. He had to redo them, go out and gather more signatures. So he was collecting hundreds of signatures total, you know, to do it. But anyway, just to sort of show you some of the ones who really barely squeaked by, what they were actually showing at the down at the Election Commission was, they actually had some missing names. So those of us who were there to sort of find out who had actually turned in signatures, actually we were, a little shaken there because there were some missing names. So it was a guy named Peter Hsu who, running for city council, had actually turned in papers, but yesterday it appeared he had not. So that has now been since corrected. But just in terms of, you know, people who barely squeaked through, I mean, some people turned in their signatures early enough that
James Williamson did not make the cut.
James actually, he turned in one sheet, but then he waited till, unfortunately, the very last minute of the very last day. Had he shown up earlier, they would have just said, here, here's another sheet, go out, get them up, get the remaining four signatures. But we're talking 10 minutes before the deadline and he just didn't have a chance to do it. So he's not on the ballot.
I am crestfallen. It's going to take me some time, Robert. I'll get over it.
I'm sure James is going to be bird dogging all the candidates at all the events and going everywhere. So
I'm sure he'll be nothing but polite.
He'll be a presence, for sure. But there's some who really came and just squeaked through. You had mentioned Doug Brown. It looked on the sheet that he had turned in 71 signatures. Turned out it was actually 61 and he got 51 valid ones.
That's so a buzzer.
He was one over the bare minimum. Franz Pierre actually I haven't listed as only having 34, but that's only because he was the one person who they still had not finished counting, but I did ask at the election commission. They said, don't worry, he's over. So he's in anyway.
Yeah.
So really the only two people who did not meet the threshold were James Williamson because of that glitch and the person who showed up on the very, very last day, Nathaniel Sandalu Ash, who did not turn in signatures at all, right? But as I say, Peter Hsu got the bare minimum of exactly 50, just squeaked through, right? Doug Brown got 51 when 50 was necessary, so barely squeaked through. And that's on the city council side. I think also now on the school committee side, there were some like Franz Pierre managed to get exactly 50 on that one to squeak in to make it to the school committee ballot. We'll see, it's yet to see, we'll see whether he stays on both ballots or not. You have until middle of August to decide to back out of one or the other. But I don't know that there's a legal restriction preventing you from being on both. It's never actually happened before. But everybody else came through with just a little bit of a margin, or they showed up early enough so that it was a non-issue. So we end up with, I believe it's 24 candidates for the November ballot for city council and 11 now, unless Franz Pierre decides to drop out of one, for the school committee ballot. I also have them here in the order in which they showed up. And in italics are the ones who did not make it, and in bold are the ones that will be actually on the ballot. So anyway, it was an exciting day, to say the least, you know, and
Cambridge is full of wonder and excitement. I had an exciting day myself today, Robert.
Oh, really? Do tell.
Well, I found myself where I often do find myself in the Sullivan Chamber, discussing with the City Council and Ordinance Committee the proposed gas ban pilot, which you may or may not know about because they haven't really told a lot of people about it.
What's different about that than what, we did a Budo
sure.
amendments to. Was that ordained at the June 26th meeting?
Sure was.
Right,
and we already have an amendment on the table for that too.
Didn't take long.
No, Mayor Zondervan decided that it wasn't dumb enough, that we needed to really spice it up with some stupidity. So he's added another amendment that violates state law, or preempts state law at least, that he tried to the sort of fastball today as well, which. Despite the city solicitor's recommendation not to pursue, the council said, you know what? We're better than the law. Let's just do it. And they did.
So the nature of this last minute amendment, I mean, there was some controversy, where Denise Simmons's vote, some city councilors really in a horrible sort of way, tried to prevent her from voting.
Yeah, that was Dennis Caramone did that. Yeah.
Well, there were actually several who were opposed to allowing the reconsideration.
What I remember actually is Dennis didn't want to allow her to vote, where most of the councilors agreed that she should be allowed to cast her vote. And then when Dennis voted for something that he didn't understand, or he voted the wrong way is what he did, Denise graciously allowed him, and she was the deciding vote, to allow him to change his vote. So in terms of quality of one's character, 20 points to Denise, minus 50 points to Carla.
Well, anyway, they did pass it, and they did do the exemption that I believe you were at least somewhat pivotal in getting the word out to a lot of the residents of large residential buildings, condo buildings, so that there will be at least not subject to the earlier deadline for ripping out all the gas heating systems, et cetera, in their buildings?
I try my hardest, Robert, just to let people know what's going on, because I think there's a real effort by the council, some councilors in particular, to not do that. And today was really no different. We have a gas ban that no one really knows about. It's a pilot program that's adopted by the state. It has nothing to do with Budo or all the other five regulations that we passed in the past 7 months. This would allow the municipality to ban new gas hookups in new buildings and to prevent the continued use of gas hookups in an existing building, provided you did what's called a level 3 alteration. In the trade, it's called the 50% rule. 50% of the building gets renovated, you got to renovate the whole thing or update the whole thing. The gas ban, CDD had made some amendments based on feedback from the people. So they reached out to some people and some people gave them some ideas, one of which was that commercial kitchens probably should be exempted from this because, they predominantly rely on gas to make money and exist. And the way that the state law is written, it exempts already lab buildings and medical facilities because, in the words of the state, the technology really isn't there and it's not practical to force labs and medical facilities to do this. So you can imagine sort of the outcome where I could build a 1 billion square foot laboratory and put a barbecue joint at the base of that building, whereas I could build 1 billion square foot anything else, and I'm not allowed to. So it's a pretty strange result. And for restaurateurs who want to sell their business or they want to open up a new business, there's lots of different types of cuisine. I'm thinking barbecue, I'm thinking woks, that really do require an open flame. Patty Nolan, Empress Patty Nolan, decided that she would push an amendment out of nowhere, talking to no one about it, to remove that carve out for restaurants and make them have to be all electric upon ordination, which will happen Monday. When it goes to the full ordination, not Monday, it'll be passed to a second reading on Monday, but for all intents and purposes, it'll be a done deal. Not only that, but in her the way that she wrote it, she puts in some language that allows her restaurants to escape this fate if they can prove that their cuisine cannot be reasonably completed is the language, using electric equipment, which then Councillor Carlone chimed in and said, "This is fantastic. I like waivers as opposed to exemptions because it makes the proponent come and have to prove that they can not reasonably complete their cuisine," which, by the way, in culinary terms, and I own a restaurant, actually own two, we never describe a meal as being reasonably completed in terms of being prepared. I've never heard that before.
So let me ask the question, because who grants the waiver and to whom must the restaurateur present themselves?
Mayor Zondervan chimed in and said, "I love this idea because I want to control everything. And I can imagine a review board." So now imagine that you're an Italian restaurant. You want to open up in Cambridge. You decide that you want to have an open flame for whatever reason, your food tastes better this way, blah, blah, blah. Now you go before the review board. Now you have to prove that your meals cannot be reasonably completed. Reasonably completed, Robert. Come on. It's insane. Without on electrical equipment. The only way I can think you would do that is to prepare an actual tasting for this review board. And they would have to subjectively determine. But can you also imagine a universe where, say, like an Asian restaurant says we have to use a wok and therefore we're okay. Then an Ethiopian restaurant says they want an open flame, but then they say no. There's an equal protection implication. There's almost a cultural discrimination component to this. And then I want to open up Patrick's Barbecue. Well, you can't even cook barbecue without an open flame. So there you go. And this is what our councilors Nolan, who is the architect of this nonsense, Carlone and Zondervan, they all feel really comfortable telling us that we have to prepare meals for them so we can prove our worthiness to use a gas hookup. Let that just sink in. I'm losing my mind about it. And just so you know, I'm not affected by this at all. I'm protected. I'm grandfathered. But imagine the gall of these people. This is what they think we should be doing.
Well, you know,
it's disgusting.
I mean, here I am. Now I'm wearing the hat of Mr. Cambridge Inside Out, not the hat of the candidate here when I say this, is that there has been a problem for the last several city councils, but probably peaking around now, of a city council that actually doesn't care what you think. It really doesn't.
That was explicitly stated today. CDD gave a whole slide of how much outreach they've done to get these recommendations put where they wanted to. And Councillor Nolan said, to hell with that. And quite frankly, Mayor Siddiqui was on board too. It's pretty clear that she's going to sign on to this. I don't know about Burhan Azim. He seemed like he was maybe open to suggestion, or at least to reasonableness. But can you imagine the lawsuits that will ensue from something so stupid as this? That I'm going to open up my new restaurant. I have to prepare for some review. I guess the building inspector, I had to make a mistake on an induction stove or an open flame. And he somewhat subjectively will say, yeah, well, that's not reasonably completed on electrical equipment. You definitely can use gas. Or that, you know what, that's a reasonably completed stake. I think we'll just go with electric. But it's absurd.
So from now on, if I go into a restaurant, I want to order a steak well done. I should not say well done. I should say, is it reasonably completed?
Exactly.
I mean, this is like
the onion level of stupidity.
No, I mean it's almost like science fiction. it's really reaching that point where
I had the best reasonably completed meal last night, Robert. You simply must go.
Yeah, it's funny for me. Is this based on some sort of sincere belief that they are doing God's work?
Oh no, the best part, Robert, is Patty Nolan said. Empress Nolan said in the meeting that this will have de minimis effect. Absolutely have de minimis effect, but everyone's got to do their part. And but except for labs and for medical facilities, obviously, but everyone has to do their part. And you kind of feel like as a restaurateur and even as a business person, like, did she just say I'm cannon fodder and whether it's fine for me to die on the front lines of climate change, even though I'll have no effect whatsoever?
You know, this is reminiscent of one time when I may have told you this tale, I'm not sure, but I'll repeat it anyway. Of when I was subbing as the monitor at the Cambridge Recycling Center in the Public Works Yard, which I was known to do periodically, you know, because I was so heavily invested in getting the recycling program going, right? And there was a woman who would show up, apparently, you know, closing time was 4 p.m. on I guess that was on a weekend. And she would show up in a taxi at about 3:50 or so with like the most de minimis amount of potentially recyclable material. But because of this sense of urgency and righteousness, she felt she had to bring this down to the recycling center. Now, one time it was like she was bringing what was essentially cellophane wrappers. And I said, I don't know how you kind of explain to people the concept of de minimis, you know, when in fact they're willing to take an internal combustion engine and drive down from wherever to the public works yard to recycle a candy wrapper, all right? And I think about this when what you're describing, when in fact they're going to give automatic waivers to some of the larger labs, which I'm not opposed to that. You know, I mean, if they made a good case, they make a good case. But if you're going to allow, yeah, all right. So if you're going to be okay with the lion's, in fact, the very large lion's share of greenhouse gas producers to be say, all right, you're okay. And then you're going to come down hard on somebody who just wants to serve up barbecue? I mean, that's a good definition of crazy.
The issue is, Robert, they've already passed, the Beto amendments. They passed the specialized stretch code. They passed climate resiliency regulations. They passed embodied carbon regulations. And they've already passed green roof regulations. If you add all those things up and you actually know what they do, we're done. We've already done it. All the things that need to be done to prepare for the 2050 future have been done.
This isn't really about accomplishing anything, is it?
No.
This is entirely about exerting control.
What seems particularly mean about this one is that I wasn't happy about the gas ban at all, and I'm pretty vocal about that. I was at least reasonably appeased that CDD heard some of our problems and tried to create some language to address that. But Patty, Empress Nolan, who spoke to no one about this amendment, knows how damaging this is going to be, or maybe she doesn't. Maybe she's not as smart as she thinks she is. Just throws it out there, and that there are at least four other counselors who are like, flapping their flippers for it. I'm disgusted. I don't know how anyone's could not be. This is not how you govern. This is not how you run a city. And whether or not fossil fuels are going to be gone in 2050, Robert, are they going to be gone in 2050, Robert?
No, of course not.
I think pushing restaurants to this degree after they just got hammered by the pandemic, they're still carrying debt. But imagine not being able to sell your restaurant that you worked your ass off for the past 20 years because the guy who wants to take it over wants a flame stove and he can't have one. Or imagine being a kid graduating from the culinary school in Cambridge, wanting to open a restaurant, and he can't do it because he can't have an open flame. Because Patty Nolan thinks that induction stoves are a good replacement for regular gas equipment based on nothing.
So this is sort of like a child's worst nightmare, where mommy and daddy have decided who you're going to marry, where you're going to go to school, how you're going to enjoy your playtime, and you have no choice in the matter because we know best because we're the people in charge.
I feel uncomfortable to some degree, you know, telling my children what to eat. Like I don't understand the type of mentality of the city councilor who makes up nonsense out of nowhere simply to control a group of people they don't feel will affect their vote. Because restaurateurs by and large don't live in Cambridge. They live in other places, right? They come here to work. And they know that they can screw us over. Not me, but they can screw everyone else over. And it doesn't matter. And you're also talking about future uses too. So like if someone wanted to open up, a shawarma joint next door to us, we don't know that we've lost them to Arlington or some other town because they never showed up. But it's arbitrary, capricious. It has no bearing, in her own words, on climate change. And she feels comfortable screwing all these people over. People should be outraged just on the principle of it.
So is this based on some incredibly misplaced zeal, or is it at least in part based on your ability, your desire to be the champion of a particular piece of the electorate that's largely led by groups like Mothers Out Front? I mean, is there a political side to this?
There has to be, because I think, well, Dennis Carlone's wife is a Mothers Out Front person, and Zondervan was like chair of Green Cambridge, and they were front and center. So like, if I actually understand Carlone's position, if he doesn't vote for this stuff, he's not getting dinner. So like, I understand, or he's gonna have at least an awkward moment at home. But like for Patty, It's basically she's decided a group that she can light on fire and they're consequenceless to appease a few more people who might vote for her because the bike people are upset with her or the housing people might be upset with her. Like she always tries to do this thing where she sort of double sides the argument, trying to confuse people to vote for her. I hope they're not confused here because I am livid about this, as you can probably tell, but more so because in her own words, this isn't going to affect anything. And well, you're going to hurt so many people.
Was it on the Buto thing where I think Councilor Nolan was quoting examples from a place in upstate New York? All right, like said, like, well, they were able to do this thing here. You know, everything was.
Oh, so she was talking about. I forget the name of the town, but it was upstate New York, and talking about how they were going to be net zero by 2030, and right. Not revealing any of the facts of the fact that 80% of their electricity already came from hydroelectric. And right. That the program itself was voluntary. And that right. The city itself had partnered with a private group to raise $150 million in capital to help people retrofit. Huge omissions of fact.
So, well, I mean, not to pick a fight. But
I'm picking a fight.
But that has been my experience with that one particular council over the years, is that, you know, you can present half half the facts, dress them up nicely, and then completely snow your colleagues.
In Empress Nolan's defense, the city does this as well. So in CDD's presentation on this, they talked about all the other communities that had instituted gas bans successfully. They mentioned California, which I thought was odd, because they didn't mention Berkeley, which was the first place to actually adopt a gas ban. They didn't mention that the Ninth Circuit struck it down, which they probably should have. I also think when you have your own city solicitor tell you, guys, you can't pass this veto amendment, it preempts state law. And then you've got Nolan and Sonderman like, well, yeah, we were going to do it anyway. Like,
well, you know, we're down to our last minute of our somewhat truncated program here, but we'll be back for another half hour afterwards. But I'm reminded of a phrase you used several months ago when you referred to, you said you're a fan of the 85% solution.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, if it was up to me, I mean, if we could basically do business in Cambridge by providing many 85% solutions that actually achieve a lot more than the kind of, just fighting for fighting's sake crap that we've been basically going through on a whole raft of issues, I think we'd be far better off.
The head of the IPCC put out a statement today about overselling climate change.
We're actually down to our last 10 seconds here, so we're going to have to hold that thought, Mr. Barrett, and we'll see you in a few minutes on Cambridge Inside Out.